Hey all, we are going to continue with the Gospel of John, and beginning today we're in John chapter 17. John 14, 15, and 16 are Jesus, some have called it his master's class in discipleship, as he is teaching about the Father, about the Holy Spirit, and about himself. And in John chapter 17, we get this transition to Jesus praying to the Father. And it's important to keep in mind, we call this his high priestly prayer, because here he is praying for what he's about to do. He says the hour has come. And all through the gospel, the hour has referred to, well, he said the hour has not come, or my time has not come. He came primarily for that weekend in which he died and rose on the third day. And so he's praying that he would have the strength to go through this weekend and do what this weekend is meant to accomplish. So there's so many things going on. He's teaching the disciples how to pray. He is praying himself that he would be prepared for the weekend to come. And he's giving us a front row seat of his relationship with the Father. We are getting a glimpse into the conversation that has gone on before time began between the Father and Son in the Holy Spirit. So we're going to just look at the first five verses of that today. So John 17, verses 1 through 5. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." So again, there's so many things going on here. One thing I want to suggest is that in many ways, this is parallel to the Lord's Prayer. In fact, you could almost line up request by request, the six requests in the Lord's Prayer with the six requests that we see here. And so today I'm just going to look at the first request, which I think parallels the first request in the Lord's Prayer. So several things. First, note that he addresses God as Father, and this is his primary word for God. And we should just note about this word, its simplicity and its intimacy. This is Jesus, as it were, instinctive prayer. When he prays, what he prays is Father. And remember, this is the prayer we're invited to pray. In the Lord's Prayer, we learn to pray our Father because we are together in Jesus as his disciples. But Jesus is the one who primarily prays Father. He says the hour has come. Again, the whole purpose of Jesus taking on human flesh is coming to fruition on that weekend. It is, simply speaking, the most important weekend in the history of the world. All of history before it looked to it, and all of history since it unfolds it. And we live in the light and in the shadow of that weekend. And so, again, he's praying to the Father for help to carry out his mission on that weekend, the fulfillment of his mission. And I don't think he's doubting that he can carry it out, but he knows that prayer is the key to carrying out, and so he's doing that. And notice too that whenever he's been tempted in the gospel to carry out God's purposes in ways other than the Father had set aside, he sees it as a temptation. He says, "My hour has not come." And I would like to put it this way. Jesus is saying, listen, no glory for me without the cross. No defense of me, vindication of me, celebration of my mission without the cross. Jesus makes it clear that the cross is essential to his mission. And that only by him going to the cross can he ever hope to be glorified, and does he ever want to be glorified. So the heart of this section of verses and the heart of Jesus' request here is that the Father would be glorified. And again, I said this is parallel to the Lord's Prayer, because in the Lord's Prayer, the first petition, the first request is, hallowed be thy name. And so we get to see here an unpacking of what that means. Jesus' entire mission has been that people would come to adore the Father like he adores the Father, that people would come to understand the Father, and because they see him and understand him, that they would come to love him. That is him glorifying the Father. And all that Jesus has done, his entire ministry has been aimed at bringing attention to the Father and bringing affection for the Father and worship and obedience of the Father. And notice that in this passage, that's mutual. He says, glorify the Son, that the Son may glorify you. And I want to unpack this in this way. Jesus glorifies the Father by demonstrating the Father's love for the world on the cross. He glorifies the Father by doing everything that the Father sent him to do, and all the deeds that he did, like healing the sick. Those were all drawing attention to the Father's heart, and the Father's heart wants to give life. The Father's heart wants to give flourishing. The Father glorifies the Son primarily by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand. He said, I want you to give me the glory that I had with you before the world began. Jesus left the Father's glory. He left the Father's appreciation and love and affection, and he wants to return to that place. And so I've said this before, the Trinity is a mutual glorification society. And here Jesus prays primarily that that would be carried out, and primarily that that would be carried out in his cross and in his resurrection. And then he says that the Father's given him all authority. And notice what he's given him authority for, eternal life. I would suggest that here we see what authority is for. It is for giving of life. I think we think that authority is for dominating. The authority is for telling people what to do. But here we see that God gives authority primarily for giving the flourishing of life. In this case, giving eternal life. But I would suggest that all authority is for precisely the same thing when it is operating properly, for the giving of life, for the preserving of life. And of course, some refuse that life. But that is what authority is for the giving of life. And Jesus says it's for the giving of eternal life. And so now I just here at the end want to zero in on exactly what he means by eternal life. I think it's important to maybe give as many paraphrases of what that means as possible. Eternal life, real life, life as it was meant to be, life that goes on becoming life more and more, that goes on getting better and better. This is what he means by eternal life. I think it's important not to just think long-lasting life. Yes, that. But quality of life is what he means. What life is all about to begin with. That is what Jesus came to give. That is what he has the authority to give. No one else does. And what does he say that life is? Well, that life is personal experience of the one true God. Knowledge. Knowledge is personal experience. Knowledge is interaction with. It is knowledge that comes from that interaction. That's why I say it's experience. And notice that he says the one true God. There are false gods. They're idols, and people worship them all the time. But he says, I want to tell you that real life is about experiencing the one true God and the one Messiah, the sent one of the Father, Jesus Christ. And so... Jesus defines eternal life not as not going to hell or not as some form of eternal entertainment, but he defines it as personal experience of God, the one true God, and his son, Jesus Christ. And if I could put it in this paraphrase, it's eternal life is moving in. Remember, Jesus says, make a home in my word. Well, moving in, making a home in the Father and his Son by the Spirit, and increasingly being at home in that home. eternal life means finding our place by the gift of Jesus' cross, by the gift of his resurrection, finding our place in the home, the eternal home, that is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and their love for one another, and their mutual regard, and their mutual affection. So that is why Jesus came. That is what he came to give us. He came to allow us to enter that and to grow forever, starting now and continuing forever in intimacy and familiarity and being at home in God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So very simply, may we have eternal life in the one true God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.